Education and healthcare reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. On Call with the Prairie Doc airs tonight on SDPB-TV. Tune in at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain. Tonight's topic is lung disease and sleep disorders, and Dr. Rick Holm joins us today in the Sioux Falls studio. Hey, welcome. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm here. It's nice to see you live. I mean, that's a kind of a fun thing.
See, I get to see you on TV at least once a week.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see you in person here.
And tonight we're going to have a fabulous show talking about sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And about any respiratory conditions, and we'll certainly take every question anybody can call in about respiratory disease. One of our guests is a neurologist and a sleep apnea specialist, and the other is a pulmonologist. So I've never had that combination before. That'll be interesting.
So how important is it to solve your sleep problems? If you sort of ignore it, what's at stake?
The major story about sleep apnea in particular is that it probably kills at least 35,000 people a year.
Really?
I mean, that's the same number of people that die in motor vehicle crashes. And so I think that's an underestimate.
Adults. Yeah.
Kills adults. It's not this crib death story. This is adults dying of heart disease, people who have any kind of heart disease. You worry that part of the cause was sleep apnea, and that's a treatable condition. It's difficult to diagnose, and once you make the diagnosis, it's difficult to encourage people to actually do CPAP, which is the treatment, continuous positive airway pressure treatment.
So before we get there, what exactly is sleep apnea? How do you define it for people?
We talking about? Okay. It's 80% of it is obstructive and 20% of it central or in between. So, you know, you take that 80 and 20 and you take out a percentage, 20% of those are kind of halfway in between. There's a combination of obstructive and sleep and central. Central meaning the brain doesn't seem to have the drive to breathe when you fall asleep. Mm-hmm. The obstructive is that as you get heavier or if a person gets older, the tissue in the back of the throat, or you have particular anatomy in the nose and in the epiglottis and all those things that flop down and block the airway when you fall asleep, then you have obstructive. And the clue to obstructive sleep apnea is really heavy snoring and apneic spells, so that the spouse of the person sleeping, you know, and then they stop breathing for a period of time and they go, honey, wake up.
Right.
So observed apnea is certainly a clue to obstructive sleep apnea.
All right. So what would you do to test it? Or if you start thinking this is a problem, what are your first steps?
Well, there's a questionnaire that you can use. But my testing in people who are 70 or older is that half the people who didn't have sleep apnea had an abnormal questionnaire. And half the people who did have moderate to severe sleep apnea didn't have an abnormal questionnaire. So the questionnaire is pretty crappy. It's not a very good test. I think anyone with any heart disease, heart failure, atrial fib, or abnormal rhythms, coronary disease, should have at least a nighttime oximeter to go home with. Put the oximeter on, and you do the oximeter through the night, and they measure how many apneic spells you had in the night. And they can see that.
You put it on what, your finger?
Your finger.
Okay.
So it's a simple thing at home overnight.
Okay.
If that's abnormal, then you come in and do a formal full sleep study, which is more expensive. But it's the test that gives you the idea of what kind of treatment do you need.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple nighttime oximeter test is I think the best screen. And we had 70 people over 100 people over 70 tested with a with this overnight oximetry. I actually got 67 to do it. And that's where I learned the questionnaires didn't work very well.
Right.
And we found that 40% didn't have it, and that 26% of the 67 that were tested had moderate to severe life-threatening sleep apnea. They didn't know they had, and are being treated now, or at least they've been advised to get CPAP. Whether they're using it or not is another question.
All right, so CPAP is a device. It's a machine.
Right. It gives you pressure so that when you're breathing, you're just breathing in a higher atmosphere pressure, so that it blows air continuously. And so it blows open your alveoli and your lungs and your airway. And it works very well. It doesn't work as well for central apnea, people who just, they may have the positive pressure. They just, their brain says, right, you don't need to breathe, and you do. So there is a way where they do, where you can control, you can do what is called BiPAP, because it'll push you to breathe when you're not. Hmm. And then it'll also give you the positive airway pressure.
So why do people resist the treatment?
Yes, because it's something on their face. You know, it's a mask on their nose, or a mask on their mouth, or it's a face mask, and it's hard to get used to. But the people who are benefited, and they get used to it, they push past that getting used to it, they won't go without it. I mean, you get this kind of, wow, how much better do I feel? You know, I'm awake during the day. I have energy again. My blood pressure has dropped. My wife doesn't complain about my snoring.
Yeah.
You know, all those things. And the reality is that you're 5 times increased risk of death over a 13-year period of time drops to back to normal.
So can you then, in our remaining minute, once you are using the CPAP, is it forever? If, you know, say some
if you lose weight, increase exercise.
Would you get the test again? What would you do then? So you'd go back to your doctor and say, I think I've taken some steps that might impact this.
Right.
You do the overnight study again.
Yeah, I think.
And then figure out what the right thing is to do.
Right. And it's amazing. There are exercises you can do to increase your tone. I mean, playing the oboe or the didgeridoo, for example.
I have a trombone. Does that count?
No.
No. To go find a didgeridoo. Dr. Richard Holm tonight, On Call with the Prairie Duck. On SDPB TV. Also, you can stream it live on their Facebook page. And it's at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain. Always a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lori.